Welcome to the Brown Bowl Podcast. I'm Kim. I'm so excited that you're here. If you're listening from iTunes or Stitcher, I want to welcome you. And if you're listening from brownbowl.com, I am so excited that you're here. Today we're talking all about spices, but before we do, I just want to thank you because I got such amazing feedback from last week's episode. It was an episode all about body image, and I shared some really personal stories in that one. So a lot of you wrote to me and said that it was really special, that it really made you think of some of your own body image stories. So go check that one out. It's the one right before this one. It's called Finding Your Body Image Story. And it's so important. If you're struggling with body image issues, if you've ever struggled with them, it's a great place to start to find healing and just going back in time a little bit and seeing where all those issues got started. So thank you so much for your amazing feedback. I love hearing from you. And if you ever feel like it, send us an email at info@brownbowl.com. I'd love to hear from you. And at brownbowl.com, we also have a little email form you can use in our contact page. So that's really easy too. Okay, so on with the show. Today we're talking all about spices. This is kind of a little introduction, and I'm just gonna teach you a few of the basics and kind of how to make your food pop with flavor. Spices are often kind of underestimated when you start in the kitchen, when you're kind of in the beginning stages of your cooking journey. So today we're gonna clear the air. So, you know, it's so strange how such a tiny, tiny little ingredient can cause so much overwhelm in the kitchen. If there's one thing I've noticed over the years in people who are beginning to cook, it's the fact that their entire spice cabinet is full and it's also expired. So that's right. You have these endless, beautiful jars of dried herbs and spices that are kind of full to the brim and way past their peak. And sometimes we buy one of those little spice kits and then they simply go unused. So sometimes we also buy spices that were called for in a recipe and we used a quarter teaspoon and then it just stood there in our spice cabinet, so sad with the rest of its unused friends. So spices are so essential in cooking and in nutrition. You know, it's so essential that supplement companies and labs have been bottling up their goodness into capsules and bottles for years. Turmeric or curcumin is a great example of this right now. Due to its crazy anti-inflammatory properties, you can now find bottles of this stuff in any health food store. So here's the thing though, you know, I have serious issues with messing with nature. When we concentrate these ingredients and make them into supplements and pills, we're not only spending way more than we need to in terms of money, but we're also getting a very, very, very large amount and we're not using it in its natural state. In combination with other healthful foods. This is key. Now remember, most nutrients work as a little symbiotic engine, so holding hands with one another to make you healthy. This is why building a wonderful plate of plant goodness is so good for you. So I'll give you some examples here. For example, the iron in your lentils or in your beans, it grabs a hold of the vitamin C in your bell peppers to help you absorb it to the max. So these combinations are really important for nutrient absorption. Fat-soluble vitamins, such as vitamin K and so many others, they grab onto the naturally occurring fats in avocados, for example, to make your body shine from the inside out. Mustard powder, this is a crazy one, mustard powder boosts amazing nutritional compounds in broccoli. The difference is mind-blowing. So if you sprinkle a little mustard powder on your broccoli, you're just getting your body ready to absorb all of the broccoli goodness. So this is just, you know, to name a few, but there are countless examples. You get the idea, right? Real food, that's where it's at. So although you've heard me say it before, I'm all for correct supplementation as vegans, I am also all for adding as much nutrition to our meals as possible and in the natural way. So through food. I mean, it's the easiest, it's the most inexpensive, and then you can save your supplement money for the really important things like vitamin B12, which is essential for vegans. So when you kind of use natural foods, it's just the least expensive form and you get all of those nutrients together. Enter the spice. This is where spices get really, really interesting. So Ancient healing traditions like Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine have been using herbs and spices for centuries. And the first time I read an Ayurvedic recipe, I was so surprised to see that they basically used what we would call the main ingredients of a dish as simple excuses to use as many spices as possible. And half of the recipe was kind of that preparation of those spices, the combination, the toasting, the blooming. We're going to talk about all of those terms in a second. So it was really incredible. And, you know, dried herbs and spices are basically dried and ground up and are therefore concentrated sources of antioxidants, vitamins, and so many other nutrients. And here's the real kicker. They add so much flavor to your dishes that you'd think a five-star chef got a hold of your body or ratatouille is hiding under your chef's hat. I mean, this is really the key to really infusing a ton of flavor into your dishes and adding variety. We're going to talk about that as well. So, although I'd love to geek out with all the nutritional information and medicinal benefits behind each spice, what I really want to do today is revamp your spice cabinet and have you shopping for refills way before the expiration date approaches. And yes, we're going to talk about how to use them in your meals, how to combine them to get different flavor profiles. So there is another reason why this topic is so dear to my heart. You know, whenever I ask new cooks what their biggest struggle in the kitchen is, so many of them have told me, well, my problem is that all my food tastes the same. So spices, I have to tell you, they are the cure for this, as are herbs, which we'll be talking much more in depth in a future post. But spices is where it's at when we want to create different flavor profiles in the meals. And main ingredients are also important, but spices are a very easy way to start infusing different flavors and trying different exotic kind of world cuisines and stuff like that. So first, we're going to go over the four basic principles to understand spices. The first difference is whole versus ground. So when you go to the supermarket, you see the little jars. If you're looking, for example, for cumin, you'll find the whole cumin little seeds, or you'll find the ground up cumin. What's the difference? So which one should I buy? Should I buy the ground form or the whole form? Now, the answer to both of these questions is it depends on how much time you have, and it depends on kind of the flavors you're gonna get from both of them. So the quick answer for me is I like both. Whole spices maintain the essential oils and the aromas much more intact and are therefore bursting with flavor. So this is kind of the whole form, and all that flavor is kind of packed into that little packet. But in most cases, you will need to grind them up yourself before using them. So that requires a little extra step when you buy the whole versions. Now, this can be done manually in a mortar and pestle, and I love this because it makes me feel like I'm living in another time. Or it can be done really quickly in a blender or in a spice or coffee grinder. So if you have one of these, it's a really quick way. There you wouldn't have any problem. It's just an extra step. Well, maybe cleaning the machine afterwards. That's all. So ground spices, on the other hand, have already gone through this process. So you basically have to shake or sprinkle the contents into your dish. And their flavor isn't as robust as the whole form, but if you're using them and restocking them frequently for optimal freshness, then they are still amazing flavor powerhouses. So they're still really great. Now, I love to have both the whole and ground versions of my favorites, not of all my spices because I would spend so much money, but of my favorites. And I like using the ground ones for my daily cooking because it saves so much time. And my whole spices for when I'm making a special dish like an amazing curry or a Moroccan tagine, something like that that really needs a ton of spices to go together. That's where I kind of go all out and use my whole spices. So if you're a beginner, I would start with the ground version until you understand the flavors and get used to adding them to your usual dishes. So once you completely automatically know that when you're making this dish, you're going to use these spices because those are the ones you like, that's once you've got that down, then maybe you can start experimenting with whole ones. Okay, the second amazing kind of basic thing we need to learn about spices is dry toasting. So when using spices, especially if you're planning on grinding whole spices, heat is like their little fountain of youth. It makes them come alive and get rejuvenated with bold flavors and aromas. So this can be done very, very, very easily by lightly toasting them in a dry pan until you can smell them. So you start shaking them back and forth. Just make sure not to burn the spice. And just do this several times and remove it from the heat once the smell has kind of filled your kitchen, and you'll get just an immediate burst if you're on top of that stove. So some whole spices will pop, they will crackle, and they will jump up, and this is normal, okay? So that's the case, for example, of coriander. Coriander is a jumper. So this is actually quite fun. Don't be scared of it. It's normal that it's going to crack and pop. Think of popcorn when you're adding those whole kernels in a pan. Okay. So if you're dry toasting whole spices, you can now, once you've toasted them in the pan, you can now grind them up to provide the most amazing flavor in the spice. And if you're trying to experiment first with ground spices instead of whole spices, you can also do the step of putting it in the dry pan, shaking it out a little bit, and toasting them lightly to awaken the flavors. So if you have time, you can do this with both. Next, very basic technique is blooming spices. This is one of my favorite things to do, but it's for special kinds of dishes. So when we bloom a spice, you're basically adding heat to your spice as well by letting the flavors release in a pan which has some oil in it. So if you have a little bit of coconut oil or just any type of oil in your pan, but I love doing this with coconut oil, the result is slightly different. You put your spices in there and they kind of start heating up as well, but here it's different from when you dry toast your spices, because by having oil in the pan, you can't grind up the spice afterwards. And don't try to do it because you'll ruin your spice grinder. So this means that whether you're blooming whole or ground spices, you can do this with ground spices too, this will form the base of your recipe. That means that once you feel the fragrance coming out of that, of those spices that have been kind of sauteing in the oil, you're ready to continue building layers of flavor by adding the rest of your ingredients to that flavorful oil and spice combo. So this is the idea, right? You have those spices in the oil in the pan, and because that's a wet mixture, you're going to add the other ingredients into that pan afterwards. All right, next up, this is where things get really interesting and where I wanted to take you today, understanding flavor profiles. So learning how to use spices really relies in understanding where these spices come from, since regionality and geography have turned spices into the base flavor that defines the different world cuisines that we have today. So these really have to do with regionality, where these some of these are seeds, some of these are just dried up vegetables or roots or fruits, or normally it's seeds, but we've got a lot of variety within spices. So where do these come from? An example of one that comes from vegetables is paprika or chili powder. So these come from the chilies or the peppers, right? So where did these come from and how did they infuse the flavor profiles of the cuisines that are in those areas? So that's what you really have to kind of understand. Now, were it not for spices, Italian food might be very similar to Moroccan food. And, you know, the American lasagna, for example, and the Greek moussaka would be on the same flavor spectrum too. So Chinese, Ethiopian, African, Japanese, and South American cuisines would be much more similar to each other. And yes, I know that the main ingredients in recipes also play a huge part, but spices are kind of the backbone of flavor profiles. And the good thing is you can use little cheat combinations to make your kitchen smell like whatever country your little heart desires. So once you understand these flavor combinations, you're all set. So some combinations to get started. Although this episode was mainly focused on learning how to use spices, I'm including herbs below as well. So we were focusing on spices mainly, but herbs are also going to be mentioned here in these combos because I want you to understand how these flavors play together. So we'll be having a whole episode on the amazing little plants that are herbs soon, but here are some great flavor profile combinations to get you started. And I'm mentioning the main spices for each cuisine, but this definitely doesn't mean that you have to use all of them in the same dish. It might be completely nutso. So choose one or two or three And if you're going Mexican, well, you can go wild. I love Mexican food, and I just think that the more spice, the better. All right, so let's talk about Italian. Some of the basic herbs and spices in Italian cuisine are basil, parsley, sage, chili flakes, which we don't automatically think is Italian, but it's so Italian. Think of when you sprinkle these on your pizza. Oregano, garlic powder or fresh garlic, of course, thyme, rosemary, and bay leaves. These are some of my favorites. Okay, so Greek food. Greek relies a lot on oregano, parsley, mint, cinnamon, black and white pepper, cloves, allspice, nutmeg, paprika, and saffron. And of course, so many others. These are just kind of the main ones, right? Let's talk about Spanish cuisine. Paprika, sweet or hot or, you know, smoked. There are so many different types, and depending on what you want to create, you'll choose one or the other. Cayenne pepper is huge in Spanish cuisine. You can find the whole little peppers or the ground up form of cayenne pepper, which we're so used to seeing. Saffron is huge. This is one of the main ingredients when we make paella. And bay leaves, garlic, onion, cinnamon, nutmeg. Okay, Mexican, here's where I get very excited. All right, so cumin is one of the main ones. Chili powder, chili flakes, chipotle, habanero, guajillo, serrano, ancho chili powder, among others. So all of these are types of chilies, very different flavors between them. Some are hotter than others. So all of these are dried and ground into different powders. Okay, fresh cilantro, very important, right? Think of guacamole. Coriander. Coriander, by the way, is the seed of the cilantro. That's what it is. So when you grind it up, it's kind of got a little bit of that flavor, but it's slightly different, of course, than fresh cilantro. Garlic, onion, cinnamon, annatto. Annatto is amazing. It really releases a lot of yellow color or kind of an orangey color. Very typical in South American cuisine and in Mexican cuisine as well. So cocoa is another. Think of when you have this dish that has a kind of a cocoa chocolate sauce with a lot of spice. That's what it's used for. Okay, other Latin American cuisines. Fresh cilantro is huge. And I have to put a little plug for my country of Venezuela, ají dulce. That's a very sweet and pungent chili at the same time, and it's spectacular. And you almost can't find it anywhere else. So this is a treat if you're ever down there. You have to try something made with this, which is practically everything because we put it in everything. Cinnamon, garlic powder, bay leaves, cumin, annatto, again, that yellow, orangey color spice that really releases. It's almost like a natural food coloring. Paprika and cocoa. So here I'm combining many countries in Latin America, not only Venezuela. Japanese food, another one of my favorites. Of course, ginger. And here I have to tell you a little bit about the difference between fresh ginger and dried ginger. Dried ginger I prefer to use in things like desserts, like pumpkin pie or apple pie if you want a little bit of spice, or, you know, just something where you're adding spice to cookies. So for baking, powdered ginger is amazing. Powdered ginger, by the way, is amazing for headaches and migraines. You mix a little bit in water and you drink that. It's really amazing. This has been studied with, you know, complete medical studies, and this is really, it really, really works. Okay, when we talk about Japanese food, although powdered ginger, I'm sure it is sometimes used, fresh ginger is where it's at, right? That little root where you can grate it or chop it or mince it or blend it. Okay, what else? Coriander, fresh cilantro, wasabi powder or paste, karashi, and karashi is a Japanese mustard powder, chili peppers, and so many others. Okay, Chinese cuisine. Chinese cuisine is really interesting because they combine different spices that are really, really common into very, very unique combinations. One of the typical Chinese spices is star anise. So star anise is that little beautiful spice that looks like a little star that is ground up, or it is placed whole in things like soups or stews, and it really releases a ton of very, very authentically Chinese flavor. It's really amazing. Szechuan peppercorns. So instead of using regular pepper, which I'm sure sometimes is used, Szechuan peppercorns have a very different flavor profile. Five spice powder, which includes many of these spices that I'm about to talk about. So five spice powder is a blend that you can make by yourself at home, or you can buy ready-made, and you're infusing a ton of that Chinese flavor into any dish you're making. Cinnamon, basil, chili, coriander, ginger, fennel seeds, and sesame. These are for Chinese cooking. Okay, African. Now I have to tell you, I tried African food for the first time when I was about 9 years old, and I fell in love with it. It's absolutely amazing. Now, of course, Africa is a whole continent and it has so many different cuisines. So here I just have a mix of the common ones between them, and I'm leaving Ethiopian cooking for a little bit further down the line because it's become so popular and it really relies on spice. So we're going to talk about those in a second. So remember, African food, the flavor profiles, they vary from region to region. But in general, cardamom is so typical. Cloves, cinnamon, coriander, cumin, fenugreek, ginger, onion, sage, saffron, nutmeg. Okay, let's talk about Indian. They are the masters of spices, in my opinion. This is where Ayurvedic cooking comes from. Ayurveda is that ancient healing technique that comes from India that relies a ton on healing through food. And they use herbs and spices like it's nobody's business. So in Indian cuisine, of course, we use turmeric. Turmeric is that yellow powder that makes curries yellow. And it's really, really special. It's so anti-inflammatory, so good for you. Cardamom is another one. Anise, chili, cinnamon, clove, coriander, cumin, very important in curries. Curry, what we know as curry, garam masala, garlic, ginger, and mustard powder. Now, let me tell you a little story about curry. Curry, what we know as curry powder, that's not even Indian. That came from the British when, India had this kind of British origin. They were conquered by the British, and some of this kind of got mixed in together. And if you go to Britain now, you'll find so much Indian food. There's this huge kind of mixture between these two cultures. And curry powder came actually from England and not from India. Traditional Indian curries do not use curry powder. They make a combination with the other spices to create their curries. So you can make your own curry powder blend that is very authentic. We'll do that in another episode. Middle Eastern also relies on lots of spices. So cumin, white pepper, turmeric, cardamom, cloves, coriander, cilantro, ginger, and garlic, among many others. Okay, let's talk about Ethiopian, because here things really get interesting. Now, Ethiopian cuisine relies so much on one spice. It's kind of a blend. And I hope I don't screw up this pronunciation because it's so hard. It's Berber. I'm not sure. I think it's Berber. So this blend is often called the big daddy of Ethiopian spices. It is so important in Ethiopian cuisine, but they also rely on ginger, cinnamon, dried chilies, cloves, coriander, fenugreek, turmeric, cardamom, harissa, lakama, and ras al hanout. So if you've ever seen these strange spices in the international section of your supermarket, that's for Ethiopian cooking and also other African and Middle Eastern foods as well. And finally, we have Thai. I love Thai food, you know that. So Thai relies a lot on fresh herbs, but also on some spices. So here we use basil, chili, cilantro, coriander, cumin, curry, galangal, ginger, kefir, lime leaf, and lemongrass. These last two are essential in Thai cooking, and they always use them in their curries and their soups. But of course, there are so many others for all of these categories. Okay, so what are my basics? Now, first of all, did you see that many of them repeated themselves between cuisines? Well, that's true. And the combinations you use with these and the way you prepare them, that's what's going to give you the different flavors. But you can buy some of these basics and still be able to make different flavor profiles from all of these different places. How cool is that? So what are my basics? I know the list I just gave you felt maybe a little bit overwhelming. So here's my very, very, very basic list of spices. I even have two separate spice cabinets in the kitchen. Yeah, I kind of jammed all the other stuff in other cabinets so I could have these two cabinets all for my spices. In one of them, I have my more exotic and less frequently used spices. And I have the other one for my basics, and these are right next to my stove. So these I buy and use frequently. So for the spices, these include cumin, garlic powder, onion powder, chili powder, curry powder, although I know, yeah, it's not authentically Indian, but in a pinch, it really saves you when you want to make a quick curry. Black peppercorns and paprika. For the dried herbs, my two favorites are oregano and thyme. And for the fresh herbs, cilantro, parsley, rosemary, thyme, basil, and chives. And I have most of these in my little herb garden. And when I run out of these, well, I buy them at the supermarket. But these are really easy to plant if you have just some little pots in the kitchen or a little windowsill where you can place them, or a garden. Or if not, just buy them at the supermarket. Okay, so to finish up, I want to give you a little culinary homework. One of the best ways to start experimenting with spices is to visit a spice shop. Yes, there are shops that are dedicated to spices. Oftentimes, it's a part of a kind of exotic vegetable or fruit shop, or just an international shop. If you have areas in your town where a lot of people from Vietnam live, or a lot of people from India live, you know, these kind where a lot of, a great way to spot this is if there's a lot of Indian restaurants in one area, chances are there is a shop that is dedicated to these products. We have lots of these neighborhoods across Spain. You can find, you know, places that have a lot of just African ingredients and South American ingredients, and this is great. You have to go hunting for those little shops. So find a spice shop, and here you're going to find not only the traditional ones you can buy at the supermarket, but other more exotic spices like the Ras Al Hanout and the Berbera. So these are more exciting, more kind of exotic, and you have the original spices and these crazy blends. So go to the shop, go to that area, choose whichever one jumps out at you. Don't look for anything, just look at the name, smell it. If you like the smell, buy the minimum amount the store allows. You can usually buy just a tiny little bit in a bag. Go home and Google it. You'll immediately find the region where the spice is commonly used and some perfect pairings for this. And then I want you to use it next time you're cooking with these ingredients. I call this the school of spice, and this is where experimentation will help you find the ones that really make your taste buds do a happy dance. So this is a really great exercise. Now, that's all I have for spices for you today. We'll be covering fresh herbs and dried herbs in a future episode. So do you have any questions about adding layers of flavor into your cooking? If you do, send us a little email at info@bramble.com or leave it in the comment section of the post at bramble.com that goes with this episode. It's called Spice It Up. You can use the little search bar in our homepage to find it. So let us know. And of course, don't forget to share the post if you're on the blog or this episode with someone who is getting started with cooking and wants a little more inspiration. And before you go, if you're looking to dive in deeper into vegan cooking and creating dishes that wow the pants off vegans and non-vegans alike, you might love our video-based online program, My Bramble, where we teach you how to cook amazing vegan food and help you on that ongoing quest of finding balance. And you'll learn how to indulge in your favorites and still prioritize your health. So we're not about restricting or dieting. It's completely the opposite. We're about creating healthy habits that can really last you a lifetime, both in and out of the kitchen. And there's so much more. So I want you to head on to mybramble.com and you can check out all the features. And you can even take part in our free mini e-course, which will give you a little taste. It's completely free. You'll find it there. And I hope you love it. Thank you so much for listening today. I'll see you again really soon with more. Bye-bye.